This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Hey, good morning with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Jamie, I don't know if you have an opinion on this. I hope you have an opinion on this. I'm just curious what your opinion is of this. So Sunday was the last day of the NBA, and the Rockets, who did not make the playoffs, shockingly, I don't know if it's shockingly or not. I mean, it seems like almost everybody makes the playoffs, or at least the play-in. They were taking on the Los Angeles Clippers, and the game meant nothing to the Clippers either. The Rockets have this promotion where if a visiting player misses two free throws in the fourth quarter, then the fans win some chicken, okay? Boban Maranovic knew this, and Maranovic goes to the free throw line and intentionally misses free throws in the fourth quarter of the Rockets' 116-105 win over the Clippers. So the fans inside the arena, they're for the Clippers, all got a free chicken sandwich because this game was at Houston. So what do you think about that? You cool with that? The guy goes to free throw line and misses two.
Yeah, totally cool with that.
Totally cool with that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Clearly, he wasn't too bothered about it hurting his free throw percentage.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
Well, the whole story, he missed the first one. Like, the first one was an unintentional miss.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was the intentional miss.
Yeah, well, I wonder what Boban shoots for the year. So, I mean, he may not be good at shooting free throws anyway, so he doesn't really worry about his percentage too much.
Man, he's a...
He lives in Labrador land, you know, golden retriever land. He's a happy-go-lucky guy, and it has been loved on every team he's ever played for. And he's played for
and he's played for the Mavs and Spurs, right? He's the big, huge guy with massive ears, right?
7'4", right. He had 13 points, 8 rebounds, 12 minutes of play, which is the most he's played all season. So I guess they
– See, Yeah, good for him. I think that's fun.
And then he's going to be a free agent this summer.
And whoever signs him will be lucky to have him.
Yeah, Rockets should sign him. See, he'll be a fan favorite.
Yeah, well, they'll re-sign. It was at Los Angeles. He plays for the Rockets. It was at L.A. So you're saying the Rockets fans would still love him for that? Yeah, he's not a very attractive human. I mean, the guy, like you said, he's got massive ears. I mean,
and all heart. You don't get to criticize him. He's awesome.
And all heart.
Everywhere he's been, he's a salt of the earth guy.
Salt of the earth. Okay, well,
I gave everybody in the stands free chicken. You're going to be upset about it. You're going to make fun of a guy giving everybody free chicken.
No, I'm not. I was just curious.
He's got great goldfish commercials too.
Okay, I wasn't aware of the goldfish commercials.
I've seen those. Yeah.
6:35 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Here's something I didn't know, and kind of goes into a couple of different things. I didn't know that Chip Carey's son, last year and the last couple of years, both of his sons were doing play-by-play for the Amarillo Sod Poodles. Chip Carey, of course, is the grandson and son of a couple of broadcasters, Harry Carey and Skip Carey, who worked for the Braves for 30-plus years. Harry Carey worked for the White Sox, worked for the Cardinals, worked for the Cubs. He's most probably beloved as a member of the Cubs. But now Chip Carey's son has gone on to become a broadcaster with the Oakland A's, and so they got to meet up. But I thought that was pretty cool that Chris Carey and his twin brother Stefan worked in the booth for the Amarillo Sod Poodles the past couple of years for the Diamondbacks, a AA affiliate. So who knew? I guess probably some did, but I didn't. I didn't know.
I could have swore that you told us that on the show. So clearly it must have been somebody else, but I could have swore you told us that last year.
You know, if I did, I have forgotten it, and It does kind of sound like a story that I would tell you, but I got to be honest with you. It seemed new to me when I read that last night. Mm-hmm. So that's hey, what do you make of John Sterling hanging up, Jamie?
He's 85, so it probably was close to his time, but mm-hmm. and I think there were some health issues and all that kind of stuff. But I think everybody in the Yankees organization knew it was coming soon, so does seem like an odd time.
Right.
Why wouldn't he have just retired in the offseason? But I guess, again, I guess maybe some more health issues have popped up. That would be my guess.
He said that he kind of wavered on it in the offseason. He said, I wanted to do this for a long time. I should have done it March 1, all during the winter, October, November, December, January, February, March. I lived the greatest life, and I rued the beginning of the season. I should have quit then. He said, but that's beside the point. That's over and done with. I couldn't be happier. I'm thrilled. I can't wait to get off the air. I've been on the air since February 1, 1960, and I'm tired, and I want to do what I did from October through March, and I will. He said that he leaves.
Gee, he made it sound like calling the Yankee games was a sentence.
No, I don't think I didn't get that sentiment. Actually, I got a sentiment just in reading the article of nothing but graciousness. And he said he basically talked about he's blessed to do what he's wanted to do from a little kid, and he's. Sounded like he's very grateful, and the Yankees are going to honor him on Saturday. And so it sure seems like he kind of went out on his own. And would you consider him a voice of your youth? I mean, he came on in 89, so that was kind of past your childhood and your youth. But, I mean, he's been doing it for 36 years, but it's not like a Phil Rizzuto kind of guy, But who would Michael Kay be more the voice of your youth for the Yankees?
No, John Sterling. I mean, of my youth, it would be more Rizzuto. But okay. of the last obviously 30 years, it's John Sterling. I'm going to think of John Sterling more than anybody else.
Okay.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Today is Tuesday, April the 16th. Time for This Day in Sports History. Here is Jeff McGuire.
Gonna start in 1912. The Pirates turn a very rare 5-3-7 double play. The left fielder covers second base on this play.
5-3-7.
Whoa. That's fun.
1929. New York Yankees become the first Major League Baseball team to permanently feature numbers on the backs of their uniforms. The numbers corresponded to the position in the batting order.
So they changed out their jerseys every day.
Or they just kept the same lineup every day.
Well, what if the leadoff hitter was slumping?
He was a Yankee in 29. They don't do that.
They didn't slump.
1946, Mel Ott, playing right field for the New York Giants, hits his 511th and final Major League Baseball home run in an 8-4 opening day win over the Philadelphia Phillies. Final home run on opening day. That feels a little weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
1978, Cardinals Bob Frosch no hits the Philadelphia Phillies 5-0 in St. Louis. 1983, Steve Garvey sets a National League record by playing 1,118 consecutive games.
I think you were looking for Bob Forsh there.
Forsh, yeah.
Sure.
I think the O was before the R.
He had a brother that pitched, too.
Ken.
Mm-hmm.
2003, Washington Wizards. Michael Jordan plays his final NBA game in Philadelphia, where he receives a 3-minute standing ovation.
I'm a little surprised it was only 3 minutes.
Well, it was Philly. They boo Santa Claus.
Did you ever see him play as a member of the Wizards, Jamie?
Not a member of the Wizards, no. Only a member of the Bulls.
And in 2021, The number 8 Texas Tech Red Raider baseball team jumped on West Virginia early and rode a terrific start from Patrick Monteverde to secure a series opening 7-2 win over the Mountaineers in Morgantown. In 7 innings, the Pittsburgh native allowed just 2 hits and struck out 5 to earn his 6th win of the season in front of a large contingent of family and friends who made the short trip to Morgantown.
Yeah, his own little backyard brawl there, didn't he?
Well, there were a lot. I don't think there was a brawl.
No, they
were all rooting for him.
Right.
And that's the second most famous thing that happened that night.
Oh, come on, that Chuck. Let's see if Chuck can get it. The second most famous thing that happened, it was on the field. The most famous thing was close to the field.
April 16th. What year?
2021. It was close to the field.
Friday night in West Virginia.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I'm drawing a blank.
Pitch. Coming right back at us.
Oh. Yeah. Hacks with a bare hand snag. Woo-hoo. Great play, Jeff Axton.
My hand hurts so bad right now.
How could I forget, right?
That was on this day in 2021?
Correct.
All right, let's all take bets to see if he remembers and we talk about it on the broadcast tonight. Because I didn't know the date. I just knew that it was the game that Monteverde had mowed down West Virginia in West Virginia.
I don't think he mentions it. He'll mention it when we play West Virginia. He won't mention it this week.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I bet that would be more likely.
I think
it'll pop into his mind.
I think if there's a foul ball anywhere near close back up to the to your booth tonight, anywhere close, like within 50 feet of it either side, it gets mentioned mm-hmm. tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, the also cool part about that whole deal is that at some point he's going to be a major league superstar. I mean, it came off the bat of Jace. So that's also kind of an extra little cool thing that he could say, you know.
I wonder if that ball could make it into the into Cooperstown Hall of Fame with if Jace.
It wouldn't be Cooperstown. It'd be the College Hall of Fame because it's a college ball.
Okay, well, it could be.
I don't think it's just a foul ball. I don't think
it's not Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame worthy.
Hall of Fame that's a worthy. Hall of Fame highlight for the Red Raider baseball fan. That's for sure.
I think it made it to the Haxton Hall of Fame.
I think it made it to the Haxton mantle.
Happy Eggs Benedict Day.
Yeah, I'm out on that.
Martin Lawrence, 59. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 77. Bill Belichick, 72. And Bruce Bochy, 69 today. And on this day in 1947, giant explosion occurs during the loading of fertilizer onto the freighter Grand Camp at a pier in Texas City, Texas. Nearly 600 people lost their lives and thousands were injured when the ship was literally blown to pieces.
What year was this?
1947. 9 a.m. flames had erupted from the hold within minutes it exploded. The blast was heard 150 miles away and was so powerful that the ship's 1.5-ton anchor was found 2 miles away.
Wow.
The force of the explosion lifted another ship right out of the water. People working the docks were killed instantly. In all, 581 people died and 3,500 were injured. And that is this day in sports history.
Wow. Let's see. Okay, so we're going to give away some cash now. Well, we'll give you an opportunity to win some cash, actually. Double T97.3 in the home zone, making your house a home. They've teamed up. We've teamed up to give away a total of $10,000 to lucky local listeners. To get registered, all you have to do is listen at this time, 8:45 and 4:45, for the local winning word. Then log on to DoubleT97.3.com and enter the local winning word for your chance to win weekly cash. We're going to draw somebody's name. Somebody's going to win $250 in cash today, and who couldn't use that? The more times you enter, the more chances you have to win. This is not a national contest. It's a local one. So the money is given away to people that live right here in our area. So hopefully you are among those that can win. or will win. We'll give away one final cash giveaway of $2,500 at Two Docks on June the 20th. It's all from Double T 97.3 in the Home Zone, making your house a home. Today's winning word would have been really appropriate a week ago. Today's winning word at 6:45 is Huskies. Huskies. The UConn Huskies are a dominant college basketball program. Huskies. H-U-S-K-I-E-S. Huskies. Huskies. That, what was it, 573 double play on this day in 1912?
How about 537?
537. Sorry. 537. Got kind of overshadowed by the Titanic sinking, I'll bet.
That was yesterday.
I know, but they probably just learned of it today because it took a while to get that news to the docks.
Sure.
I mean, that's the...
I mean, I don't think the 537 double play is interesting for sports fans.
Right.
I don't know that it would have made any actual news coverage beyond the sports page.
It might.
I want to see...
What do you want to see?
I want to see the 573 double play when the third baseman picks up the ball, just turns it around and heaves it to the left field, and then they somehow get a guy.
Well, you know,
somehow get a guy leaning off of first. Yeah. I don't know.
Here's how it could work, Jamie. Here's how it could work. The third baseman is backpedaling, okay? And the left fielder is coming in. And the third baseman sees that the guy is rounded first a little bit too much. And he loses momentum after he catches the ball. And he flips it back to the left fielder, who is running in by now, is at about the shortstop position, and fires it over to first, and they double him off. That's how it happens.
Okay,
I've got a better version that we can do at the top of the hour.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
The Morning Drive on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Come to you this morning from our respective First United Bank studios.
This is how the 573 happens. Okay.
Go ahead.
Rocket shot from the bat off of the third baseman's glove that goes airborne.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't touched the ground yet. The left fielder catches it cleanly, out number one. The guy at first saw it ricochet, who was running from first to second, saw it ricochet off the third baseman's glove into the unknown and took off running. Left fielder has a cannon, nails him at first for the double play.
I think more likely, I mean, I don't think a ball that's hit to the third baseman is going to ricochet all the way to the left field.
Did we mention it was with a metal bat?
Okay, I think more likely would be a Texas leaguer in between the two. Okay. So the third baseman going out, left fielder coming in, third baseman makes an effort to go after the ball, jumps, bounces out of, hits off his glove, bounces out of his mitt. When he sees it go off the mitt, the guy who's on first takes off. Left fielder comes in and catches it off the bounce of the third baseman. So it doesn't touch the ground. He catches it out of the air. And then guy running from first to second realizes, oh, my gosh, he caught it. And so then he doubles him off back at first. He's much closer to the infield, and it doesn't have to ricochet off the third baseman all the way to left field.
The ricochet, though, was a nice touch.
Just somewhat unrealistic. I guess that's how Josh Young broke his finger, because the ball was hit that hard on one of those, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
Exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah. We'll have Red Raider baseball for you on the air tonight from Fayetteville. That's where Jamie is with the Texas Tech baseball team. 6:30, the broadcast time, 7 o'clock, first pitch tonight, as the Red Raiders will play two. They're against the number two team in the country. I mean, just by playing them, your RPI will go up, right?
You would think so. Yeah. That's the hope.
Yeah, I guess
just because your strength of schedule and all that will be higher.
How much pitching do you have left after, you know, all that you've done? I mean, the three games in Fort Worth and the game, you know, last week in Abilene against Abilene Christian, and to keep
I'm
your
sure everybody besides the starters will be available. To be used okay. this week one day or the other. I mean, you might wait till tomorrow for Josh Sanders because he threw twice, but I mean, and maybe not even that. I would think if they had a lead in the seventh today or something like that, you'd see Josh Sanders in the game.
Okay, because you've got West Virginia coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. How, you know, last week, I think Sunday you deemed the TCU game as the most important game of the year, just because it was opportunity to win a series and obviously Big 12 standings and all those kinds of things. Where do you put these two games with Arkansas on the important list?
Nowhere close.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're going to say coming up this weekend, the three games against West Virginia, you could say are potentially maybe the three most important home games of the season because you're playing a first-place team in the Big 12 and it's conference games. Am I thinking right on that with you?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. As I told Choice and Josh yesterday afternoon, I mean, unless you're just a glutton for punishment, I think you should probably stop worrying about winning a Big 12 championship in the regular season. Okay. It just doesn't feel like that's really likely. I mean, is it still possible? Sure it is. And are you still shooting for it? Sure you are. Okay. But is that likely? No, it's not. Okay. You're going to have to do some real damage on the road, which you haven't been shown the capacity to do offensively against teams that are good, really good teams. So do I still think you have a great chance to be in the NCAA tournament? Yes, I do. But do I think you have a great chance to win the conference championship? No, I do not. I do not think you have much chance at all of that, to be honest. So I feel like at this point, you're just worried about, hey, let's get this team as the best RPI we can. Let's finish as high as we can in the Big 12 to get ourselves a better seed in the NCAA tournament. So maybe you get a easier number one seed or a better landing spot, so you have a better chance to advance past the regional round. But I think the thought of you winning a conference championship, again, I'm not saying it's a 0% chance. Mm-hmm. It's still doable and you're still working towards that. But I mean, it just at this point, it's like every game is about improving that RPI, getting to play better baseball, you know, so you can win important games and get to the point where you're playing your best baseball at the end of the season.
Jamie, I know answering this question is almost impossible. How many hosts do you think the Big 12 gets this year? Is it a one-host league? Two?
I mean, right now you don't have anybody inside the top 16 in the rankings. I don't know where you're going to find two. I don't know. Maybe none. Maybe none.
That just seems crazy to me.
It is.
One last thing about tonight's game for the moment. What's the status for Damian Bravo tonight? Do you think he plays or do you think he sits?
If he's healthy, I think he'll play.
Okay. 7:08 this morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's just my guess. I mean, Coach Tadlock believes in his guys and trusts in his guys, we all know he had a really rough weekend, but I think he'll get him back out there as soon as he can. He doesn't want him to sit over there and get the feeling that they've lost faith in him.
Stew about it and all those things. I just wondered if
the only way to get out of a slump is get up there and swing.
I guess I just wondered just from the risk standpoint if it would be good for him to get a couple of days rest going into West Virginia more than anything else.
Yeah, I think that's completely a fair question, Chuck. I mean, I just don't know the status of the wrist.
All right, we'll talk a little football. They're going to wind things up this week with the spring practice. Spring game is Saturday down in Midland, and they'll divide up teams. But they've got a couple more practices still to go as they get ready for the conclusion of that. And then head off into you know, final season, and then get ready for the season itself with summer workouts, et cetera, et cetera.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
In just about any way you want, okay, for whatever different reason you want to answer. I have a very simple question for you today. What Red Raider football player are you most excited about seeing in 2024?
Micah Hudson. I'd like to see what he looks like on the football field. I want to see what he can, what kind of a, I don't know how much of a difference he can be as a freshman year one, but man, he's got all the measurables. And, you know, I think that no matter who the quarterback is back there throwing, they're going to be, he's going to be a target. He's going to be one that they're looking to see. I'd like to see if this guy's kind of what they're advertising him as to be. So put me down for Micah Hudson.
Chuck, that's a great answer. And it's probably my number two on this list. Because I know, I think I know what we're going to get from Taj Brooks. I mean, we've seen that for a while now. He's going to be the most fun player, I think, to watch because of how often he's going to be touching the football and scoring touchdowns for us. That's kind of how I want that to work. But a guy I'm really excited to see how his second year goes is Ben Roberts. Lots of accolades his freshman year, did a lot of great things for you. Linebackers at Texas Tech have a very long history of success, and I want to see how his progression is going into the next year and hopefully dominating some offenses.
All right. I think that Taj Brooks would be a really good answer because you could say to yourself, well, you're excited to see him back, right? That this is a guy that we thought you would lose, that he would be gone after last year, and he's back. And so I think it's a simple, easy answer to say, well, I'm just excited that we're going to see him in a Red Raider uniform again. I'm super excited that he's back. But that's not necessarily my answer. I think both of your guys' answers were good. I'm just intrigued by this guy, and maybe it's a bit of a goofy answer, but it's Jalen Conyers, the tight end from Arizona State. I just, the way that they used him as a tight end, as a Wildcat quarterback, he also threw passes as a Wildcat quarterback, a former high school quarterback. And he's got really good size, 6'4", 265. He should be able to help you in the run game as far as blocking, giving you another really solid blocker. He should be able to help you in the passing game, both receiving. And one of the things that we've complained about so much in recent years is that your wide receivers weren't good blockers. And this is a guy that can come off the line of scrimmage. And if you want to run a bubble screen, or if you want to run one of those, slip screens to one of those wide receivers, he can come down the line and create some space for you. And then what you would do, obviously we know that Coach Kittley has a propensity to kind of do some trick plays and put quarterbacks in the backfield and extra quarterbacks on the field and all those kind of things. And Coach McGuire likes that too. I think Conyers gives you a lot of different options. And so I hate that, you know, Chuck's picked a guy that wasn't healthy in the spring and I'm picking a guy that was healthy in the spring.
Right.
But I'm super excited about Conyers and what he can do for you.
Yeah, Conyers is recovering from a broken foot, and Micah Hudson from arthroscopic knee surgery, which they kind of sounds like they feel like both will be cleared. They said that both would be cleared by July the 1st, which is kind of the Baron Morton date as well. So that's a big day for those three guys, or that time period to be cleared for full workouts. I think those are all three good answers, from us this morning. So, it's kind of stayed on script. Somebody says this, we've had many big athletic tight ends. Can't do anything with them. Not going to change now. Well, that's pretty negative for April the 16th.
I think this is a fair question coming off the Ace Flooring Center chat line. No Mason Tharp?
Yeah, it's that's...
We've kind of, unfortunately, had to accept some things with him that he's not going to be who we hoped he would be, I think, as where all three of us are.
Mm-hmm.
and he could still be that. But the excited for the next season, we're kind of to steal a line from Chuck's favorite state. It's time for him to show us something.
Yeah, right. Not necessarily.
That's the Missouri motto.
There, right, Jamie. Show me the show me state. Right. I get it. I get it.
Well, Jamie didn't laugh, and I was a little worried that.
Well,
I may have done too smart of a joke.
Yeah.
No, I got it. I was waiting for Chuck to be offended.
No, not offended. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good morning, guys. Hope you all have a great day. Tech bests the beats the bacon out of the hogs, and that Chuck is able to avoid the cloud of negativity he was under yesterday. That from Syntex Hank. The cloud of negativity. Oh, sounds like we need some kind of like music for that. The cloud. You're under the cloud of negativity. No, that's for rants, things like that. That's not the cloud.
That's for whiny Chuck.
Yeah, that's not the cloud of negativity. That's kind of the whiny stuff.
Well, that's what I had easy to get to.
I understand. I understand. Jamie, how do you feel about having some bacon today?
I'm a fan of bacon. Okay. I bet you there's a good chance I'll have some for breakfast.
Okay. Somebody says this, Tech has to split the series at minimum after the Saturday-Sunday catastrophe. Catastrophe. Catastrophe.
It wasn't ideal by any extent, but I wouldn't call it a catastrophe.
Yeah.
It, like Jamie said yesterday, you didn't play terrible. You got beat, and you didn't play up to what we've expected you to play being Red Raider fans over the past 7-8 years. But it's not like you were kicking the ball around. It's not like you had a bunch of missed opportunities on the defense. Look at the numbers you produced offensively and from your pitching staff. If you were to tell me that you only gave up, what, 6 runs on the weekend? Yeah. 7 runs on the weekend? That you were going to lose 2 out of 3? That seems ridiculous.
I think the crazy number that I heard Mike Gustafson talking about yesterday on Tech Talk was Jamie's runner in scoring position on the road statistics. I mean, goodness gracious. You have just struggled to get a hit with runners in scoring position on the road in Big 12 play. And maybe
it's funny. It's funny when I say them on this show, they don't mean that much. But when Gus says them on TikTok, it just means so much, Jeff.
No, that's not it at all. That's not it at all.
It just means so much on TikTok.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Jamie Lund, Jeff McGuire, I'm Chuck Hines. We come to you from our perch in the First United Bank studios and look forward to hearing from you continuously this morning on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, also the Visual Edge IT hotline. Texas Tech in action today. The boys take on the Arkansas Razorbacks. 6:30 the broadcast time, 7 o'clock first pitch. They have a pretty raucous crowd there, Jamie. Do you expect a big crowd there tonight?
Yeah, I sure do. Okay. Sure do. Yeah, their crowd is amazing. It's one of the best college baseball atmospheres in the country.
When you look at Arkansas, do you look at them as their strength being their pitching staff? Is that what's really driving them for the most part?
Yeah, I would probably look in that direction. Yeah, they're really good with their weekend starters. And, obviously you got a guy today who hasn't pitched a bunch, but the numbers are really good. So yeah, I mean, it starts with pitching with them.
Their team ERA is 2.64. It's the best in Division I baseball. So it runs her at a premium. Does that change the philosophy at all when you're going into a game like this in terms of how you might approach things a little bit differently?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you just know you have a tough opponent. But, I mean, for example, What would be a different philosophy to go with?
I don't know. I mean, I guess from my standpoint, I'm just asking the question, you know, because it's not like you feel like you're going to get 7 or 8 runs off of these guys tonight. So runs are going to be at a premium. Does that mean that you want to, you know, I don't want to use the word small ball because that's such a clutch you know, cliche kind of word. I just wonder if that, when they have this opportunity to move a runner over, if they might be a little bit more inclined to do that against a team that has premium pitching, or do you just kind of play the way that you've been playing all season long, which, you know, I just was just curious about that. If it would change your philosophy a little bit when you know that you're taking on a team that's got a really, really good pitching staff.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think you're going to, you get a runner on first to lead off the game. I don't think you're going to bunt him over to second. No. I just don't think that's going to happen. I mean, if there's, you're, you know, in a dire situation where you need a run, maybe you are doing that late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not one of your best hitters at the plate. Maybe you're doing that, but I don't think you're doing that.
I don't think
you're doing anything differently.
Okay. Did you get a chance to see them play when they were playing at Globe Life earlier this year?
Did not. I think they played the weekend after us, didn't they?
Oh, they played the 24th, so they must have played the weekend after, yeah.
Yeah.
They lost to Oklahoma State 2-1, and that game went 14 innings. So that was probably very, very early on in the season, back on February the 24th. Obviously, they've had a great year. This is probably your toughest opponent of the season, right? I mean, they're the number two team in the country, so it goes without saying. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So you'll have Zach Erdman on the hill tonight for the Red Raiders, and he'll face a pesky opponent, but a guy that's not pitched a whole lot this year. So we'll see what happens. You don't have to face Mason Molina. At least you don't have to see him on the hill. Probably see him at the ballpark. He'll probably be there, won't he? You would think.
I would assume so. I mean, he's part of the team. I don't think he just shows up when he pitches.
He's not one of those guys who just shows up on every fourth day. Ben Bibee will go for Arkansas. He's a right-hander. He's 2-0 with an ERA of 1. But like you said, he hasn't pitched very much. So maybe you can get to him. Maybe you can kind of get to him. Have you ever been to Fayetteville before? Have you ever done a game from there?
Yeah, Red Raiders played here like 18, I think.
Okay. How's the ball carry there?
It does. Depends on the weather a little bit, but it's it carries. Doesn't play like a massive park normally that I can remember.
Let's see. We get this from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. This is probably going to ruffle some feathers. This year's baseball team is extremely frustrating. We have no clue how to play small ball at all. It is either a home run or nothing. That from DPI. Is that a fair statement, or is that just a frustrated fan?
I think it is a frustrated fan, and I think I have felt many of his or her frustrations. I mean, again, it's just what you want to call small ball.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers don't bear it out, okay? Over the history of time, to be a team that sacrifices a bunch, okay? It doesn't. It just doesn't. You score less when you do that, when you give up outs, okay? Could you be a team that hit and run more? Yes. Could you be a team that is better at moving runners over with putting the ball in play and getting a guy at second with nobody out over to third? Could you be better at that? Yes. Do you wish you were better at that? Yes. Do you have guys on this team that need to learn to, okay, my opinion, shorten up a little bit on the swing and put the ball in play more instead of taking huge hacks? Yes, 100%. And I'm not frustrated when it's guys who are, you know, power hitters, who are big time run producers. I get a little more frustrated when we have 150 pound shortstops swinging like they're Babe Ruth. Okay. To me, you got to put the ball in play a little bit more and use your speed. Do I wish the team would try to bunt for a base hit more? Yes. When they are shifting on you, do I think you should bunt for a base hit more? Yes. All of those things. So some of those things are considered small ball things. Giving up outs via sacrifice bunts, even I am not a big, big fan of that. I think there's a time and place for it. But some of those things are considered small balls. Some of those things are just considered being an all-around hitter. And I think a lot of times the cuts are too big, especially when two strikes. We're not shortening up and putting the ball in play enough. And so, basically what I'm saying is I agree with the texter a lot of those things. And it is frustrating at times. It really is. And that all factors into, you know, hitting with runners in scoring position.
8:09 this morning here on the Morning Drive. More from Jamie next. Red Raiders in Arkansas tonight at 6:30. Play-by-play at 7. We'll have the Rangers on this afternoon. Just afternoon, first pitch. We'll pick up our coverage at 11:30 with the start of the broadcast. Rangers and the Tigers today from Detroit. This is the Morning Drive on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.